Welcome, one and all,
to Ladies with Gumption, episode 208, Gateway to the Multiverse. We are the Ladies with Gumption. We recap DCTV in a flash, and this week we are, in fact, actually recapping The Flash. I am Tatiana, and I'm here with
Jessica
and May.
You can find us on Twitter at DCTVGumption, via our email at ladieswgumption@gmail.com, on Tumblr, ladieswgumption.tumblr.com, and of course, you can listen to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and for the low, low price of $10 a month, Patreon, where you can listen to us talk about anything and everything, including the MCU-verse, HBO Max shows, Netflix series, and any other movies that you desperately want us to talk about, like Cocaine Bear. So, you can find that at patreon.com/DCTVGumption, and we thank you for your patronage. On to the news. May has written Flash trailer. Also, Flash screening at CinemaCon, and everyone was bursting with enthusiasm at how good the movie was and how it's okay that Ezra has made a few mistakes. So what did we think?
Which was funny because that same person was all like, oh my God, I can't believe Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. We should all like not forgive him. It's crazy how like society will still give him chances. And then he was like, all like, oh my gosh, Ezra Miller, ooh woo.
Exactly.
I mean, the bias is clearly obvious, especially now that we have like, besides Will Smith, there's like Jonathan Majors and David Cho. And so it's like, who gets punished for the things that they do and who doesn't?
Right. So, that aside, how did we feel about the latest Flash trailer?
I actually haven't seen it. I feel like at this point, I stopped caring. It's just a lot of Batman, Supergirl stuff, which is great and fine. And but I do feel like what WB is trying to like bury the fact that Ezra is
Barry.
Yes, exactly. Right. They're really trying to sell like everything else, even though what they want, of course, is for you to come away then being like, forgive Ezra, more Flash movies. So
I'm also not convinced like Kiersey's gonna be in it for very long as Iris either. Yeah. So I don't know.
The trailer, they like refuse. So I'm like, okay, she's gonna be in it for a blip. The same like scene that they cut out of Justice League is probably gonna be the extent of
oh my god.
That would be terrible.
She never speaks.
Basically.
So, do we have any other news that we'd like to discuss before we head on to the joys and no joys of The Flash?
I think there was one thing at another thing at CinemaCon where like a fan asked James Gunn about like other characters he would be interested in including in the DCU. I don't remember if he was saying like other like non-major characters or whatever, but his response was being open to Static Shock being in like a new character that cast in like the DCU universe.
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
cool. I mean, in general, James Gunn's idea sounds great.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, at least he gets some interesting characters in. We can say that for him. All right.
And, oh, I think Steven and Mel also, someone.
Oh, Stephen Amell! Like,
Stephen Amell wants to be Green Arrow in the DCU.
Like, no one asked you, Stephen.
Sit down, Stephen.
Okay, I found the quote because I was looking for the quote. It says, James Gunn responds to fans saying that they do have plans for Static or any other of the Milestone characters. So,
okay. Well, I support him in that. So let's hope that we get that. All right. I would also love to see a revival of Black Lightning in the DCU. That'd be down.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah. So, make it happen. Now, we move on to side A, our one and only side, just like Iris is Barry's one and only. The Flash, where May will take us through a recap of the episode. We will go through our joys, our no joys, read the feedback, and nominate our Lady with Gumption.
Yes, I will attempt to take you on this journey. Please forgive me in advance. So this is the episode where I think the episode is called It's My Party and I'll Die If I Want To, which I think is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And Ramsey Russo is back as Bloodwork. Sandeel gives a very melodramatic performance as this fantastic villain who still wants to cure death on every earth. And the only way that he can do that is to use Wally this time, because Wally thinks that he's tapped into other earths because the multiverse is coming back. We've only found out about this now. And so he tries to use Wally to tap into all the earths, infecting his mind and trying to cure death on every earth. Catastrophe, of course, will happen. And so all that, no, let me go back. Bloodwork crashes Barry's party, of course, possesses Wally pretty much, and makes Wally, who is still kind of getting over his past trauma of having to take care of his mom and feeling like Barry has lived his entire life, kills Barry under Bloodwork's powers, I guess. And then Barry is dead, so he goes to see Oliver in wherever he is. I can't remember, to be honest. Oliver's like, yes, you are dead, Barry. This is why I let you hug me this long. And there's a brief reunion. Barry doesn't really know if he wants to 100% go back because he feels guilty about all the deaths that he supposedly did not cause. But, you know, this show loves to make him feel guilty about not dying in crisis. But he decides to go back with Oliver, who can only come back because the multiverse is in danger. We also find out that Red Death is from Earth 4152 and not another timeline. So the pair regroup, get Diggle, who is miraculously cured from his Bloodwork disease by Kion, who can, you know, she can tap into like the natural world. Lots of explanations happen. A big fight scene happens. Wally, through the power of Barry's pep talk, snaps out of Bloodwork's blood and fights alongside them. Happy ending for all. Barry and Oliver have a like nice conversation. Diggle gets to say goodbye to him for the only time, because he didn't get to say goodbye to him when he died in crisis. All's well that ends well. What sparked joy? That was a terrible. Terrible
recap. I was going to say, that was such a struggle recap, but you did it. Yay!
I know. Thank you. this is like, it's been a long week, guys. Okay. So you know what happened. What sparked joy?
Well, I think just in general, this is the most interesting one-shot that they've done this season. It felt like there were stakes at stake. And there's, you know, if you have an interesting villain with Bloodwork coming back, you have Wally. I really like that. This was really more Wally focused than I thought it was going to be. So I thought that was good, having him be like the center of it. I liked that it was Barry's birthday party and they remembered that he has more friends and people that he knows outside of the people that come to Star Labs every day. So that was great. It was really nice seeing the two captains, Singh and Kramer, kind of like interact with each other. And I thought that their debate over who is the better captain was kind of funny, and trying to like drag Barry into it. That was really funny. I think Bloodwork being back, he's got so much personality. Like you said, he was like very melodramatic, and that really made an interesting villain. And him like torturing Barry versus him tormenting like Wally, or trying to like manipulate Wally, getting those two different kind of scenes were interesting because he had different approaches. Like with Barry, he was very sarcastic and kind of like taunting Barry. I thought it was funny that they did like a Captain America style PSA where he like, they broke the fourth wall, and that, you know, it's a show within a show, which I thought was like really great, but then like someone on Twitter was like, and now we've entered WandaVision. I'm like, you know what? That's probably where they got this from, but it's okay because I still enjoy it. But the whole like Flash PSA about like grief and, you know, Frost falling on her coffin.
The most unexpected and hilarious thing. Not you laughing.
So that was funny. With Wally, I thought it was really, this really should have been, and I can talk about it more in the No Joys, but it really should have been like more episodes. I really felt like Wally's anger, you know, when he's confronting Barry and saying that, you know, you only had one dad, you had your dad, and then when you lost him, you had another dad, so you had two dads that loved you. You grew up in my house. You basically saw my life. I didn't have all of that, and it's kind of interesting because I'm going to fill in the gaps that is implied in the story that I feel like they should have showed, but it's kind of like, you know, Wally only had, like, Francine his whole life, and she had a lot of troubles that he had to kind of, like, grow up really fast and be on his own and be like her protector in a way. And so it felt like when she died, it was kind of like he failed and like he couldn't protect her. And with Barry, when his mom died, you know, he has a lot of guilt over that, but he was also kind of like coddled and protected and, you know, encompassed in like love from Iris, from Joe, from Henry, from all these people that kind of helped him, you know, heal through him his trauma. Like, this is not your fault. He actually came up well-adjusted. He had a career. He went to college. He, you know, eventually got engaged to Iris. He's having, like, a great life, whereas Wally only had Francine, and he met Joe and Iris later in life, but there was a Barry-sized person in the hole where he should have been. He didn't have their kind of support. And when Francine died, like I said, he felt like he failed. And I think getting his powers as Kid Flash was like the chance, okay, this is how I can do it right. This is how I can help people and not fail again like I failed my mom. And then he had like the whole collapse of the multiverse and Jesse Quick died. And so it's like, again, what am I doing wrong? Why can't I save the people that I love? And I don't remember his reasoning for like how he went from the Flash to joining the Legends. I don't remember his arc there. And I wish I did have to go back and like look at it. But that's probably kind of like the trajectory of, you know, I'm doing something wrong, going and trying to like start on his enlightenment journey. And trying to figure out how do I become this good person, this enlightened person, have become like the most pure form of heroism so that nobody dies on my watch kind of thing. And that's what he's like still struggling with. So with blood work coming in and saying like, look, I get it, man. I'm trying to do the same thing. I think we should like link up here. That's very tempting because Bloodwork is offering him the thing that he's been kind of like searching for. So I feel like it was kind of natural that he would fall victim to that. So I think there's a lot to, I think Keenan did really well with what they gave him. I think they could have explored it a lot more in depth. But I was glad that since we only had him for one episode, they made the most out of it and gave him a lot of meat to work with. So I think that was cool. With Barry and Oliver, I liked their ending scene at the bar the most because there you do get the sense of this is a lot of history with Arrow and with Flash. Arrow was the foundation. Flash built the house of like the DCTV universe. So it's kind of nice to have them kind of sitting back like a full circle type of moment and talking about that, what it means to be a hero. I thought that whole conversation was really nice. I also liked Iris and Wally's conversation, what little that we got of him throughout the episode. Like, he made her a drink that was going to be good for her pregnancy. And then the end when they're talking and, you know, I was like, I read all those long ass emails that you sent me. And, you know, seeing that she's going to be the best mom, he's going to be the best uncle, was really, really sweet. Yeah. I think even with Keown and Oliver being able to give an actual explanation that of what she is, like, you're connected to the natural world, like, thank you, now we can explore that. So that was good. I think Oliver in general was pleasant throughout the experience. Like, he did feel like he was something else, like a more, you know, it was a more mature thing. I loved Diggle and Oliver's reunion, maybe just a little bit more than Oliver and Barry, because it was really funny because, like, when Barry was hugging Oliver, he's like, let go. Why are you hugging me, song? But he hugged Diggle twice, and he held on for dear life. I'm just saying. So you really feel, like, how much, like, they love each other and that brotherhood. And, you know, Diggle talking about, you know, what's her face? Not Felicity, his kids. And how they're growing up and, you know, giving him, like, a download of everything that's happening, you know, that kind of stuff. That was really sweet. I like that a lot. So there's a lot. I know people are, like, complaining about it. But I think there was a lot to get joy out of this episode, especially compared to, like, recent weeks. So.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was a strong standalone episode. My favorite one probably is still the Dreamer episode. But this one was probably, like, my second favorite of them. Certainly better than the previous episode for me. And I also just thought it was really nice to see, even though, like, not everyone that should have been there was there, the fact that they got enough people like Wally and Dig to come. And it did feel natural. It felt like, oh, yeah, they just stopped by, you know.
What was Cisco doing? Like, he couldn't get off work? Like, come on.
Right, exactly. Cisco, I was going to put that in my dislikes, but you brought it up. So that, and also Joe, like, you couldn't come up one day, Joe?
It's a trainer. I mean, someone had to babysit Jenna because Cecile wasn't doing it.
And Jenna can't be at the party because she might drink alcohol. Like, what? Anyway, so, sorry, back to the likes. It did feel natural to see everyone there interacting with each other, you know, giving each other hugs, whatever. It created that sense of, like, you know, the interconnectedness that we used to have once upon a time. And also sort of give you, like, it felt more alive than it does sometimes in the later seasons. So that was very nice. And I thought they did give a really nice send-off there to Diggle and Oliver and, like, honoring their friendship and, you know, Diggle being like, I finally get to say goodbye. Also Oliver being a little snarky, like, yes, I already know what's going on with my kids because I have been watching them from Spectre Heaven. I was like, okay. And I liked the meta commentary of, like, oh, Barry gets to do all these things because he's the star, right? And everything has to be about him and it can't be about Wally or whatever. And the fact that we acknowledge that no one gave a shit about Caitlin dying. So it was nice, even though, like, I would have liked him to, like, list all the other people he died, that he lost to, you know, in that moment. But it was good to give Caitlin and Frost a little bit of a beat there because poor Caitlin did not get anything. So that was nice. I also loved the Wally and Iris stuff. I was expecting even less based on what people had been saying. But I thought their conversation was really sweet. And they even had that little moment at the beginning, like when he showed up, he gave her a hug, like almost immediately or whatever. And they had, like, you know, little, that little drink for her morning sickness. That was super cute. I also liked that Barry brought up not actually wanting a party because he, like, feels he hasn't earned these extra years. That was also bittersweet. I liked that as well. Ramsey is just funny. He was great. He gave a great performance. I forgot that he was, like, out there. So, a fun use of a returning villain. And they did give him a conclusion, like, being like, oh, he's back in Argus, so, I guess Oliver can, the multiverse is restored and Oliver can go back, but not before he finishes the party. Also fun. I'm trying to think, like, what can I say that you have not already said? Because, like, most of it was good. Like, I liked the way that they explored
Barry's psyche and the methods they used to showcase the different people being mad at him, but especially Wally getting to, like, Wally's was, like, the most realistic or the most, like, justified one, because, like, we've always talked about how Wally did not get to have his family. He never really got to, like, Joe cared about him maybe even less than Iris, even after having, like, discovered him many, many years too late. So it makes sense that there would be that tension between Barry and Wally, but I agree with Jessica that that's something that should have lasted longer. Like, we could have had an episode to set it up and then an episode to actually have it, whatever, blow up. But I did like, I thought that it could have, like, it could have just been in Barry's head, you know, like, he's done stuff with, I think, Blood Work before, where it was really just like his mind work. But here we see that Wally is affected by it too. And he does have those, like, negative feelings that Barry has to pep talk him out of. But it did not just require pep talk. We did get $5 worth of CGI. So that was good. It was a good balance. What else? What else? I love everything. Even Chester, even Allegra calling Chester Chuck did not make me want to claw my eyes out for this episode. So something went right there. Because normally when I hear Chuck, I'm like, his name is Chester. No one calls him Chuck. So it worked. It worked that time for some reason. And yeah, I mean, I guess it's good that we know, like, I had seen, like, oh, we finally figured out Keon's powers. And I know Oliver told her what it was, something about nature. But then I promptly forgot. So I have not figured out Keon's powers. But I'm glad she knows now. And she had a lot of things
out. She's connected to the natural world. And she's like, oh, my God. That's interesting. I'm going to go meditate.
I'm like, okay, we already knew that. Like, no, we didn't learn anything. We learned nothing, but thank you for confirming, Oliver. So I even liked, like,
this confirmed little, to like, them, because we knew, but they act like they did not understand what her powers were. And that was, like, annoying right. shit for me. So thank you, Oliver, for finally stating the obvious.
Exactly. But yeah, I did like Zen Oliver. Like, it's kind of fun to just see, like, the Spectre version of Oliver. And he's like, oh, it's all I'm just chill, right? Don't worry, Barry. I can take you back once you're ready. Once you're ready to come back. So yeah, overall, 2 thumbs up, would recommend. I feel like that's about as good as we're going to get for a standalone episode in the final season of the Walmart version of The Flash.
Indeed, Walmart version of The Flash. Spectre Oliver was fun, even like when he's like, are you gonna get this check? He's like, you're a billionaire. He's like, money doesn't come with you to death, so I don't have any money. That was great. But yeah, I think it was a solid episode overall. I wasn't really expecting that much based on, like, people's reactions, I guess. But I was very invested in the episode. I agree that there was, like, actual stakes. It felt like something was going on. There was a battle. Bloodwork, I've missed him because he's exactly the type of villain that this show has always needed, and we didn't really get that much of, especially since, like, there's only been the rare villain that kind of taunts Barry specifically, and it hasn't happened in quite a few seasons now. So that's always really enjoyable, and he just, you know, he's so great, and he's so theatrical, and it's very enjoyable to watch him kind of like, aha, I know what I'm doing and you don't, and trying to beat everybody. So that was really great, especially him, like, the director chair trying to get, you know, say the words that I also laughed at the fact that they gave him, like, his mic, they just plugged it right into his suit. I was like, that just doesn't look right. So all of that was great, and even, like, the idea that Barry still feels guilty for people's deaths and kind of, like, him not feeling 100% about his own happy ending because of that makes sense for his character, because he's always kind of carried that weight around. Hopefully now he's like absolved of that guilt, because Oliver's just like, go be free, live your life. So that was a really nice conversation between them, because I feel like a lot of people were mad that Oliver sacrificed himself and that Barry also didn't die during Crisis. So I feel like, you know, he does deserve to live, and Oliver saying that he deserves to live and kind of like move on with his life versus being sad about everything and having, like, wishing for himself to die is not the way to go. So I did like the few conversations that they had about that. and just their general friendship, because I feel like it's been a while since we've seen that on screen. Diggle and Oliver reuniting was really nice. I like the fact that we had that conversation about the box and it testing Diggle and him choosing his family, and that he made the right choice was really nice, because I feel like that was so stretched out over the course of many seasons, and we finally have some real closure with it. And just like the idea of Oliver being really proud of Diggle and what he's doing with his life is really nice, and all that. Their friendship is golden. Wally's psychological stuff was great too. I feel like we should have had it seasons earlier, but it was nice to finally get it, because I feel like he's never really gotten to express many of his feelings, and it was really great to see him finally get to be angry at Barry, get to, like, you know, say the things he needs to say and feel the things he needs to feel about having grown up with Francine and all that affected him, and how he kind of like came into Joe and Iris's life, but he wasn't really a part of it from before. I thought it was really great, and Keenan did such a fabulous job kind of selling that in such a short period of time. And it's always just great to see him. I love his little scene with Iris too. Again, we should have gotten more of that, but that's in another section. But I do think it was just like a well-executed episode in general, from like keeping the fighting to just Diggle, Oliver, Kid Flash, and Flash was really nice, because we didn't really need anybody else out in the field, and I feel like that would have been overkill. The idea that the multiverse is not dead, it was just kind of like rebirthing, was nice. Kind of like, you know, all of these Earths are coming back, they're just being reformed. So it's not just Earth Prime, and it's nice that we also got confirmation about Red Death, because that was a little bit confusing. So it's nice that we actually have confirmation that yes, she was from actually another Earth. That makes a lot more sense for her arc, even though they could have also done that and explained it before. So yeah, it was just like a solid, fun episode, kind of getting the gang back together and seeing, wrapping up like the crisis threads that we got and entering a new multiversal world. What did not spark joy?
Before I start my no joys, that reminds me of the whole Red Death thing, because she accidentally, quote unquote, killed Iris in her world, and she, like, now, like, they, the people on Earth 4125 escaped having to deal with Red Death, but we know what happens to Barry when Iris is murdered, so now I'm like, is there a saboteur on Earth 4125? Like, what's going on over there? I don't know. But anyway, back to this episode. Like I said before, I feel like instead of having all of those one-off fillers that we had, and if the Flash showrunners in general and writing staff took better care of their relationships with their actors, perhaps we could have had Keenan for more episodes. He could have been like a recurring guest star. Which also reminds me, the Chilblain guy is a series regular and he's not been on for how many episodes? Like, what? Why? Why are you making the decisions that you're making? But, you know, this could have been, like, Keenan could have been here for a couple of episodes. We could have had this in arc. You had Bloodwork come in and say, I escaped Argus. And we don't know how. Like, when did it happen? How did you escape? That would have been, like, a great time for, like, a flashback or, you know, a trip to Argus to see how he escaped and got out. I'd love to see that. That could have been part of, like, a, you know, a cliffhanger of a previous episode or something. I don't know. You just feel like, you know, with the limited time and episodes that we had for this final season, it would have been nice to, you know, have more story time for a character like Wally, since we have so much of his personal growth has been either on another show when he was on Legends or completely off screen and only referenced sporadically over the course of a couple seasons. So that is, you know, I liked what we got of it, but, you know, it's kind of like the ghost of what we could have had, I guess. So that was no joy. I didn't mention it, but I did like that when Oliver came back and he had to fight, we had like a classic like Arrow choreography fight style sequence. But what turned me off was that the camera work was so shaky. I was like, what's going on, Miss Director? Like, what is happening here? Every time, like, is the person physically running with the camera to follow this fight? Like, did we not like take any fight camera work or to, you know, I don't know. It was really shaky. And I was like, is it cold? Is he running? What is happening with this? And it's kind of taking me out of the fight sequences. Because I feel like that's something that's classic Arrow and was really nice to include in the episode, but the camera work was just like not there. Mm. What else? It really annoyed me when I was like live tweeting that no one was checking out. Like Iris, she did not get affected by blood work because of Baby Nora sharing her healing powers with her. And she had contacted Chester, like, I'm stuck in the time vault, you know, be careful because there's zombies out here or whatever. And then when Kion gets there and starts freeing everybody, no one's checking on her in the time vault. Can we get like a wellness check? Is she still doing all right in there? Whatever. And it just took like forever. Like Chester's like, is Allegra okay? I'm like, is Iris okay? Let's ask that question first. So that was kind of like, you know, meant to delay Candace having to be on screen again until the last scene or whatever. What else? The fact that Cisco could make it to Barry's re-30th birthday party. I get it because the people that were awake during the blood work thing or had the most to do during the blood work thing had very specific roles. You had Barry and Wally and you had Diggle and Oliver. So if you brought Cisco here, it wouldn't really make sense to bring Carlos and then knock him out for the majority of the episode that he can't do anything. You could have paired up Cisco and Chester, but then what would Allegra do? Nothing. So, you know, there you go. The fact that Joe is not there, the fact that Cecile was there and Joe is not there. Like, of the two, I think I know which one is more important. And I definitely feel like that was like a weekend thing, that Cecile's ass should have been on a train back home. And for some reason, every weekend that she's supposed to be home, she's got something that's going on in Central City. So whatever. What else? That's probably it. I'm just being petty at this point.
I mean, you're absolutely right to be petty about the Joe thing. That was really dumb. And I feel like they didn't really discuss it. Like, they didn't say why Joe wasn't there. Aside from, like when Wally said that line about, like, oh, my dad's always loved you more, or you replace me, or, like, whatever. And I was like, yeah, well, where is him? He's not here for any of them at this point. But anyway. I definitely feel like they could have done a Zoom call with Cisco, and then Carlos would not have to come, you know? Like, if Cisco can't show up, then just put his face on the screen so he can wish happy birthday to Barry. And then don't worry about it. Or be like, oh, I missed my flight, but I'm going to be there tomorrow and we can have brunch or something, you know? Whatever. Something to show that they're still, like, ongoing friends. Not like you have to not speak to them ever again because they moved to Chicago or wherever they moved to. So I definitely did not.
The one big thing, Tati, that really annoyed me. Mm-hmm. And that was in Oliver and Barry's conversation where he's talking about, like, his guilt. And Oliver is like, you could go back, but part of you doesn't want to go back. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean part of him doesn't want to go back? Like, the fact that he is feels guilty or whatever about, like, Caitlin and Frost dying, I buy it because Barry's corny. And that's, he feels, that is what it is. But what, like, is ridiculous is him being like, you know what, maybe I should stay dead. Like, you have a wife and a baby on the way. Like, there's no way that he would be like, you know what, I'm fine staying dead. Because, right. Like, him being dead is not going to bring Caitlin or Frost. They're not in the woods with Oliver. They can't come back if he, there's no trade-off there. So the fact that was, like, the thing was annoying a little bit. A lot of it.
Yeah, I definitely was like, okay, sure, when he said that. I get the idea that, like, sometimes he might feel like Iris is better off without him. Like, when he's in his, like, little self-hating moments, sure. But it, overall, I didn't feel like we had anything leading up in these last few episodes to justify him saying that or feeling that way. Mostly because they did a horrible job of making it look like anyone cared that Caitlin died. So for now, he has this whole revelation when he's in, like, the netherworld or between, you know, the living and the dying that, like, maybe he should just stay dead because it's his fault and Caitlin's dead and, like, whatever. And I was like, that would be acceptable, kind of, if we had been building towards this, which also we could have done with more episodes, like you said, if we had had an episode of Wally coming back and building towards that.
And it's clearly Caitlin's fault that Caitlin's dead.
Right. Caitlin or made that choice Caitlin. On her own. Yes. Caitlin,
like, you want to, like, you know,
yeah,
assign some guilt somewhere.
Chilblain wasting our time. Or if Cisco, like, if you had had an extra episode to let that breathe, Cisco could have come back and been part of creating the guilt in Barry accidentally, you know?
Yes.
Cisco's like, wow, I leave y'all for a year and now Caitlin's fucking dead.
And now you kill my friend.
Exactly. So yeah, I definitely think that there's ways it could have gone if they had tried to make this its own arc. And that is another problem with the standalone episodes. Like, we don't need to have, I've already said this like a couple times, but we don't need to have one arc, random interludes, and then another arc. Like, things can be connected without being the main plot. It's okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who taught, you know, our beloved showrunner writing. I don't know where he went to, like, the school of creating storylines, but he needs to go to a different one. So, yeah, I don't really have any other dislikes. So, I mean, other than I really wish there had been more Iris. I do wish we had gotten more Wally and Iris. I wish we had more, like, cute West Allen moments of them just, like, being giddy together. I feel like every episode, one or the other has to be having some, like, issue, you know? Like, I'm not happy with my life. Why wouldn't you be happy with your life? This is a great life. You're together. Be happy. So.
You're 30 and you aged, de-aged a year.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I don't know. It's a little bit like, okay, it's like just creating, it's not even conflict because they're not like fighting, but it's like creating an unsatisfaction, a lack of satisfaction for its own sake. So yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. The de-aging, I disliked. Because it doesn't make any sense to me. He can physically, like, feel younger, but that doesn't actually make him 30. He was still born in whatever year. Like, come on, that's
and
stupid.
They changed his fucking birthday, because I know that we established that his birthday was like March 14th, because that's Barry's birthday in the comics, and they showed it on, like, his driver's license in season 3. Like, hello, Eric, we are in April.
Yeah.
How is this randomly his birthday now?
Yeah. Anyway. Unless they intended it to air without the hiatuses, I don't know. But regardless, it's okay to also celebrate your birthday if you're turning 34. I just want to say, it's fine to throw a party. So that was really annoying. The lack of Iris too, like her not being able to react to Barry dying, her not being shown planning for the party instead of like having Team Flash do it or whatever. Iris being stuck in the time vault for the majority of the episode didn't make any sense. Like, it would have been more interesting since she was kind of being healed from Bloodworks blood, that she would react to Wally under his spell. You know, that would have been really interesting and, like, created some tension between them as well, and given them more scenes together, but we didn't get that. What else? I just feel like the Barry is still being punished for not dying in Crisis in general. Like, the for whatever reason, it's like he can't live his life and be happy about it. Like, just let him live his life and be happy about it. It's okay. Like, heroes don't always have to die, and he shouldn't have to feel guilty for, like, for even Caitlin's death when she brought that on herself. It's not like he caused her to die, you know? So it just always bugs me that, you know, because he's a hero, it's like, let's go out with the hero's death. We don't need that, and the narrative doesn't need to keep bringing it up. Like, it's okay. Barry can have his happy ending. Like, I'm fine with it. Wally's arc in general, like, while I liked it, I agree that we should have had this from before. I feel like it would have been more interesting because it would have been more of a build-up like, even if we had gotten him in multiple episodes this season, we could have seen some of that, like why he's back for a while and things like that. But again, we get shortchanged, and he gets shortchanged with his arc because he didn't really get to have one. I don't think he really ever had one on this show. And I would have preferred to get more of him than to get more of Oliver, who has had his time in the Arrowverse in general. And that would have only really worked too if this had been a multi-episode arc, which leads me to like the season's pacing in general. Like, it's just bad at this point. There's no vision. There's no larger story to connect to, like Tati was saying. It's just kind of like things are happening, but there's no lead up to anything. Like, there's no, it doesn't feel like there's any stakes right now. I know the final four episodes were expected to have this big thing, but I feel like that could have been done better. Like, pace out the Red Death, tie that into the multiverse, bring Bloodwork back earlier instead of having the filler episodes. And then this episode, you're like, damn, Oliver's here. Let's save the multiverse again and kind of close that out. So I just feel like the showrunner has no vision in terms of like the larger story and is just keeping things really neat and tidy by having them be these standalone episodes that don't have any relevance to what's coming up. And it's really frustrating because it just lacks intrigue in general. So it's just like Flash season 9 is just vibes, basically. It's like there's nothing else happening. And it would be really interesting too, because I feel like with Arrow's final season, and Arrow had like a bunch of different characters that got their own storylines too, but I feel like the focus never strayed from Oliver as the main character. And I feel like that's not the case at all with The Flash. And it's really annoying, especially in its final season when we could have had a Barry story and then connected that to Iris and so on and so forth. But I just don't want to be great. So it affected this episode because it could have been a multi-episode arc. Like, I would have liked to see Bloodwork more, Wally more, and then kind of make it this big deal when Oliver did come back. But we did not get that. So anyway, what did our listeners think?
Well, we have Sonia, of course. Hey, ladies. This episode of The Flash was so well done, I didn't even mind Oliver being there, because when I heard he was going to be in an episode, I was worried, but it was actually really good. I've always loved Ramsay Rosso as a villain. I thought they didn't utilize him enough when he was on the show, and you gotta love Sandal Ramamurti, right? So glad to have Wally and Dig back. I wish we could have had Joe in the episode, too. It sucks we get Wally back, and we don't even get a scene of Joe and his son. Exactly. We got one flashback of them looking at each other. Love the scenes between Sing. Oh my God, I forgot about Sing and Kramer. That was funny. And then when Barry had to be like, oh no, I'm just happy that you're both here, where the city's lucky for both of you. That was funny. Poor Wally having to see his childhood with his mom and her addiction, feeling like Barry stole his life. It made me so sad. I understood why he chose to join Ramsay the way that Barry did back in season 6. I love how Nora's healing factor helped Iris, but did they really have to lock her in the time vault the entire episode? Why couldn't she help fight? It was a bit too convenient for Chester to be normal because he doesn't drink, when he could have easily had the sparkling cider that Iris had. True. Mm-hmm. Oliver saying, let go, Barry. Let go was hilarious. as was the you're dead, because why would I let you hug me that long? Keown's really good at using her powers now. The police are coming for me. Not really, but there's an ambulance in the background. Poor Barry having to deal with Oliver, Frost, and Caitlin's deaths. I hate the way they brought up the fact that Oliver saved his mom, Tommy, and Lance, and yet was sad he couldn't bring his dad back, but they never mentioned Laurel at all. Love the Arrow-esque fight sequences. It was nice that Dig got to see Oliver again, and Oliver told him how he's been keeping an eye on them and was proud of Dig for not taking the Green Lantern powers. That was cool. I did like how they kind of tied that together as well. It was literally so dumb that they all woke up and whatnot, and we got this scene where everyone's like, where's Allegra? And then no one is like, where's Iris? Loved the scene between Wally and Iris, where she surprised him by knowing the Buddhist beliefs and said, I've read those long-ass emails you sent me. Also like that Wally realized it was better for him to find enlightenment within himself than taking the shortcut. I agree. That was a good little tiny minuscule arc for him to have. Can't wait for next episode. The multiverse is back and all the shows are done, but still, yay. And she won't have any feedback because she's going on vacation. Well, have a good vacation. And thank you for sending feedback as always. Then we've got, I have forgotten who this is, customer S.
Joe.
Hi, Joe. First, the third Flash movie trailer is out. It looks like Iris West will only have a cameo. We're on the same wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just going to have to be Candace repping Iris West until DC Films gets itself together. Y'all think there'll be any Barry-Iris relationship in the film at all? Yes, I do think there will be Barry and Iris relationship, but I think that's literally all there will be.
It seems there was like one like small sliver of the trailer where, and it was like a voiceover. It felt like he was talking to her, and there was like a sliver of maybe like it was in a flash time where he was like caressing somebody's face, and it was probably Iris, but that could be the same cut scene or a different one. I don't know, but it's still gonna be small. So
yeah, for sure. Also, did y'all see the Panabaker interview at Flash TV News? DP said she
had a crush on him. Of course I did. Tati, who do you think I am?
Well, Joe said, DP said she had to argue with an EP, probably Wallace, to get a proper ending for Caitlin. They really deserve dirty this season. I'm not even a fan of her character. That is sad. And then she did say, I didn't put my last name on email. It's me, Joe. So thank you, Joe. Joyce, it was nice seeing familiar faces that haven't been here in a while. Great to see Wally again. I liked him having personal scenes with Barry and Iris. I like the Wally subplot that explored his struggles, and nice to see Sing, though I wish he'd had more to do. Bloodwork is not my favorite villain, but Sendell always kills it with his performance. Not a fan of Arrow or Oliver, but I did like that seeing the Barry Oliver bromance again. The callbacks and meta references to the Arrowverse were cute. The scene with Bloodwork was, as a director, was weird but funny. Yes. No Joyce. I really miss Joe. He should have been there. Not an Arrow fan. I did not need another episode of The Flash dedicated to Arrow nostalgia. Yeah, I was like, The Flash treats Arrow better than any show has ever treated The Flash. So it does It does hurt my heart. What is up with all these flashback clips? The only people still watching know all that already. It's odd to have this pilot with all these reunions and a big threat to the multiverse, and yet it was a standalone episode. This should have been a two-parter instead of one of the pointless interludes. I hate how this particular showrunner wants to make Barry guilty and or responsible for things that were not his fault. Frost and Caitlin's deaths are on them because of their stupid decisions. I get Wally's feelings, but I don't think that's something Barry needed to apologize for. Okay, fair enough. I definitely agree about the Caitlin thing. The Wally thing, I mean, Barry can apologize for that. I'm okay with it. Nominations for LWG. Fetus Nora for protecting her mama.
Aw.
Speaking of, what are our nominations?
Well, it was a sausage fest this episode, so it's like...
Yeah, it was.
It might be
Fetus Nora. I guess Keon.
Oh, that's true. She did have a moment.
Keon figuring out her powers.
Yeah, and like managing to unfreeze Diggle or whatever. Yes,
and hearing the call of the Spectre.
Hearing the call, yeah, and dropping the cake. She didn't even bring the cake back. Like, you know, drop some points for that. But I do agree that she came in clutch. Didn't know what she was coming in clutch for, but she still came in clutch.
We love it.
Beautiful. That is the episode. So Keon is our lady with gumption. Tune in next week where we will discuss the first of the four-part series finale, according to Eric. I'm not prepared. I don't know if everybody else is prepared, but I'm ready for it all to be over.
You're ready but not prepared.
Yes, ready but not prepared. So tune in next week for our thoughts. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at DCTV Gumption, send us your thoughts through email to ladieswgumption@gmail.com or send us your asks on Tumblr at ladieswgumption.tumblr.com. And until next week, fare thee well, everybody.
Bye.
Goodbye.